That's my hobby. Here's 20. So far, me and Bethany, maybe Linda, I don't know, but that's two of them. If there's going to be a third one, I'll let you know. Well, and write me down for two anyway. Well, now, Steve Carey's brother. Oh, the one you said I was going to win. Hey, y'all, he's going to take care of my tickets. At least this time when he says I'm going to get something to eat, I will. Are y'all ready? We're talking about God, who is he? Last week, we're talking about four ways that God decides to reveal himself. That's what we talked about through creation. And being through, let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this night, this chance to be in your house. Lord, to worship you, Lord, in the spirit and in truth. And I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us in a very powerful way. Make a way, Lord, where there is no way in our lives, Lord, and touch us, God. And help us, Lord, to get this word in our hearts so that we can give it to other people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I told you I've been doing Theology 101. It's really pretty cool is because it seems like this stuff always winds up because I'm taking physics and earth science right now. And it seems like all this always goes with what I'm taking in college too, which is pretty cool. It is kind of hard to do three semester weeks in 1 week when you're riding in the back of a Rogue with the computer in your lap trying to hold a book in one hand and write with the other hand. And that Rogue, the Rogue rides good up front, but in the back it's like this. You know, I've really done a lot of work on the road lately, but still God's blessing, and so far that's right, maybe so, that's right. So here we go. God is talking about creation, and it all started out with how God revealed himself. For those that weren't here, when Job was trying to tell God how he was feeling, that God didn't know how he felt, he said, well, where were you when I created the world? And then, God speaks to the creation, the formation of the world, which is Job 30. Oh, this is in Job 38. The formation of the world, where were you when I laid its foundations? The vast universe, can you bring forth the constellations in their season, lead out the barrier with its cubs? Balance of land and water, I shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb. Division of night and day, have you ever given orders to the morning and shown the dawn its place? And the life and death cycle, and the seasons and weather. So that was one way God reveals himself. Another way God reveals himself is through your conscience. This is probably one of the most powerful ways. This is where people cannot say, you know, there is no God. God gave us a conscience, right? And even if you don't know the word of God, you've got a conscience, and that conscience will lead you. Okay, so this is going to be, this is a little bit about the conscience here. Everybody got a paper? You need another one? Did I not give him one? Is that the one that says conscience on it? Oh, okay. Everybody got one from tonight? Conscience? You don't have a conscience? I thought you did, sister. Through conscience. If y'all want creation, I mean, from creation, they're back there in the back. We've always got plenty of them. I try to make about 33 copies. So if anybody wants to take a copy home, want to give a copy to somebody, it's fine. If you want to get more than one copy of anything, that's fine. And if on a Sunday morning, if you want a copy of that outline, I can go make you a copy of the exact outline that you're getting up on that board so that you can get a hold of it. This week, coming up with it. And if you can get through the maze... I know you're going to tell us it's simple, but I've never seen it simple. Go ahead. Okay. So there you go. EverettNC.org/ECC. Okay. Also, If you, like I said, if you want something, if you just tell me, I will get it to you. I was going to tell you, in the newsletter this month, I get the whole front page, and so I'm going to take that sermon from Sunday about the value of scars, and that's going on the front page of the newsletter. So you can take that and use that as a ministry tool also. All right. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did y'all both get one? Did y'all both get it? Here you go. I got them all right here. Pass one to her. Okay. You got to believe in God. If you don't believe in Him, then we're missing the boat anyway. We're just up here, you know. I'm just running my mouth to hear my gums flap. Okay. If we don't believe in God, I believe there's a God. Even the staunchest atheists know that something happened for this to go on like this. So here we are. Reflect on the four ways which God reveals Himself. If God is truly knowable, and He is, the question we need to ask is, how can we come to Him? God revealed Himself. God has revealed facts about Himself, and His nature is in different ways so that we can know Him and what are these ways. The first was through creation. The second is through conscience. Everybody's got a conscience. I can, like the other night when me and Eddie said something, and I said, Eddie, if you don't mind, it got on my conscience bad, and so I apologized to him. My service said, you didn't hurt my feelings. I said, I'm going to be getting into it. Remember that one? I'm going to be getting into it, the agnostic and the atheist. And I got into it the next week and explained. And he said, now I see what you were talking about. I said, yes, well, I want you to understand. But it was that. But I still felt bad because I felt like I cut him off. And my conscience bothered me, you know. Now, if he was riding down the road and I cut him off, my conscience wouldn't bother me. I'm playing. There's a difference in riding the highway. I'm just being funny now, y'all. Okay, kind of. All right. All right. So, the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God hath made it plain to them. I like what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah that the way is made so plain and so simple that a fool can enter in. And a fool in the Bible is somebody with an empty head. Okay? An empty-headed man can follow and get to heaven. An empty-headed man is made so plain. And so here it is, Romans 18:19. But God's angry displeasure erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate as people try to put a shroud over truth. But the basic reality of God is plain and enough. Open your eyes. There it is. God's made it plain, and He made it plain in our, and here it is, one in the Greek it says He actually made it plain in our inner conscience. Okay, so here it is. Think about this. I want you to think hard about this. Why do people all over the world have some form of moral code that is amazingly similar? Why? You can go to Germany. You can go to France. You can go to Africa. Unless you go to something like, and I'm not talking about Nazis. The neo-Nazis, and I'm not talking about going to some far aboriginal tribe that are headhunters. I'm not talking about the head. I'm talking about regular, civilized people. They all have a similar moral code. Did you know that? No matter where, it's like the Bible. Wherever you cut the Bible, it bleeds red, because Jesus is mentioned all through the Bible. The same way, wherever you go in this world, there's going to be a moral code, a standard that people hold to. And some, even thieves and robbers, they still have their morals and their standards that they hold to. So, for example, there is no culture on earth where it is permissible for a man to take any woman he wants. I mean, a king may. But again, that's out of the ordinary. A man just can't go take a woman that he wants. It's not going to work like that. You know, it's the same way, you just can't go kill somebody. Oh, in the caveman days, yeah. Yeah. But that's because they ate brontosaurus burgers. That made you mean. All right. So now, I remember watching that big old rib on the side of Fred Flintstone's car. You know, they put the rib on his car and his car would turn over. Yeah. If you eat stuff like that, you're going to be mean. So think about it. You, if you kill somebody, any place you go, in any kind of tribe, even the heathens and the heathen tribes, you kill a man, they will kill you for killing that man. If you rob, there's places they will cut your hand off. They have a lot stricter moral code than we have. And so if you look at these strict moral codes and it's embedded, that don't sound quite right, but you know what I mean. It is embedded in all of us, and it's innate in all of us, all right? The innate knowledge of right and wrong is our inner conscience. That's that inner witness. Y'all think about this. You might want to underline that. The inner witness in us is the existence of God around us and in us. There's an inner witness. You know, have you ever thought about, you know what, if you ever been somewhere, or somebody even say something to you, you know, it'd be cool if we could just, you know, just knock this out and get over with and do whatever, even do a sorry job, and you go, no, I can't do that. I got to do it right. Again, there's that witness of God in your spirit. Your spirit is the one that's talking to you, but it's God talking through your spirit to you. And so some people have a better conscience than others, and we'll talk about it. As a matter of fact, you can go ahead and look at it now. 2 Timothy 4:2 says that some people have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, that's pretty tight. Seared. Let me look this thing up and read it all the way to you. Can you imagine having your conscience seared with a hot iron? Meaning, if you take something with a hot iron and go to it, what's it going to do? Not right below that, but if you're bleeding, if somebody's bleeding, what do they do? Okay, what's cauterizing? Ah, it's searing it with a hot iron. How many of you ever watched Rambo? Bethany had never seen Rambo, and so the other night we were sitting in there, and we were sitting in the living room. I was doing my homework, but she was watching Rambo. I kept watching a little bit because it was a really good movie. I think, bless you. I couldn't tell if you're sneezing or coughing. If you're sneezing, bless you. If you're coughing, cough it up. you know, he'd get shot, and he would take, and the arrow was in his arm all the way through. And I don't remember which Rambo that was in. I think that was Rambo 2, because they had a whole Rambo marathon going on. But he took and cut a little gully in the arrow and poured gunpowder in it. And then he took it and he lit the gunpowder and he pulled the arrow all the way through. What was he doing? He was cauterizing the wound. He was sealing up the arteries. Okay? And honestly, it hurts to start with, but you're better off if you're going to do something like that. At Fountain Power Boats, they would take MEK and some other things that were very, very hot, used to clean off the boats and stuff. And those guys would get weld burns. And they would put it on their weld burns, and it would hurt them. Man, it would hurt them when they did it, but a few minutes, the pain was gone. I can't remember if it was lasagna or chicken or something, but I had an oven. I was working on my sermon, and I ran back over, and I'd taken one of my mitts off, and I hadn't even thought about it. I taken a mitt off, and I come here, I was looking at a sermon, and a buzzer went off, so I ran to the oven. It was at 400-something degrees. I go in there and grab trying to pull out so I can get the pan out. I grab the grill in there, and when I grabbed the grill, it burnt all the way down and all the way here, and I was in tears of pain, and so I'd heard about mustard. And so mustard is the silent way to cauterize it because of the stuff in it, you know, the vinegar and stuff. Yeah, I took the mustard and I put on it. And the first time I put it on it, that was like burning all over again the first time. And it finally went in. Look, so then I let it wait a minute. And I put it on the second time. When I put it on the second time, do you know the burn went away? It went away. I come to church and played the bass. Okay. And it did not hardly blister, and what did blister was not hurting. I never wore a bandage on that major burn of putting mustard on it. Okay, cauterized it without fire. All right. So again, matter of fact, when I went to go see, go ahead. Jason Lewis. Oh, yeah, I told him I was going to bring him some French's mustard up there when I went to see him. I saw I was going to pour mustard all over his face. He said, I'd rather not. But it's good. It's amazing. It's amazing. I seen him when he was, I seen him when his face was swelled about twice the size it normally was. Okay, so there's that inner witness that lets us know. But when you when your conscience has been, it says through hypocrisy and pretensions of liars whose conscience have been seared or cauterized. Meaning you've done it so much that you and you've ignored the Holy Spirit talking to you so much that when he's talking, it don't even matter anymore. Now, when that's a dangerous place to be, because that is where you step in reprobate territory, and a reprobate can ruin himself before God and never step into heaven. Somebody don't care. They've got a reprobate mind. They've got their conscience has been seared, has been cauterized. The Holy Spirit talks to them, and they don't pay any attention. It doesn't even bother them anymore for the Holy Spirit to be convicting them. That kind of person, I get scared to be around that kind of person because most people tell me, well, even some of those guys eventually will come around, and even and they might not tell you, but it bothers them when they do it. But somebody's like this, okay, Charles Manson. Right, Charles Manson. I mean, they cut that actress up and took her baby out. I mean, that's some bad, bad stuff. Oh, I know. Yeah. So it's just amazing. So here we go. Let's get them back into Zoom. No. I know. It's crazy. You know, it's like right now, I heard people protest, and it's like, you build a wall, we'll tear it down. I don't think so. Because there's U.S., there's going to be U.S. guards there, and you're not going to tear that wall down. They have pretty good shots. Well, I heard, did y'all hear about those Border Patrol agents last week? They had, they took out a lot of drug dealers over the wall because the drug dealers were on the other side of the wall at Mexico, and they threw 100 hand grenades over to the Border Patrol agents. And the Border Patrol agents picked them up, pulled the pins, and threw them back and blew them up. Okay, here we go. Every culture, y'all got to know this now, every culture on earth, people worship. Every culture, people worship. They worship something, and they have a preoccupation with religion. Do you know that every known civilization, and every civilization they have found this century, every civilization they have discovered has what they call, and this is what I use in an argument I used on the school thesis, on the was the ark regional or was it worldwide? I mean, the flood, was it regional or worldwide? And I said it was worldwide. And this is one of the reasons why, because every civilization says they have what they call the ark theory. Even you go on the walls and you'll see a bunch of animals coming to this big boat, and you see the big old rain where they come on the even some of these way on back civilizations they talk about. You know, and also you go over to the Indians, you'll see them talking about the great white chief come to visit them. Who's the great white chief? Okay, Jesus. So people worship. And what about this? You go over in some of these faraway lands and they offer an innocent victim to atone for their bad doing. Okay, where did they get that from? I'm going to tell you where it came from. After the earth was destroyed by flood, there was only Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And if you trace their roots down, you'll see that from their roots, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, one was Mongoloid, one was Negroid, and one was Caucasianoid. And there used to be only three classes of people on the earth: Mongoloid, Asians, Negroid, Africa, in that area, and Caucasianoids, Europe. Okay? That's it. And so when they dispersed out, they told about Noah's Ark. So that was that. So it was told by mouth. It wasn't written down in places. So they could write them on walls, write them wherever. But again, there it is. Every people have an ark theory. They want to worship. They have a preoccupation with religion. They also have a preoccupation with atonement for their bad deeds by an innocent victim dying. Jesus was the innocent victim. He was the Lamb. Okay, so that's pretty there to tell you. God has given us all a conscience. All of us. Now, it's up to us if we want to be seared or not, okay? So here it is. I only got three verses. First, man has a natural desire to be religious. It's natural. Even the atheists are religious. If you say, well, I'm an atheist and you're not going to change my mind, I know I'm an atheist and they're religious about it. It's a religion. They even have an atheist religion. If you go to Pitt Detention Center, you're going to find more than atheist religion. You go to Pitt Detention Center, you're going to find demon worshipers, Wiccans. You're going to find Buddhists. The biggest thing we find is I found some Seventh-day Adventists, but the biggest thing is Muslims that you find. And after the Muslims, there's also Catholics. But the biggest thing is Catholics and Muslims. But there's also devil worshipers. I mean, I've had guys tell me, look, you can't help me. I'm a devil worshiper. And I'll go, well, I can help you if you want, but if you want me to leave you alone, I will. You know, because you have to. That's part of the law. They can't feel like you're harassing them. And see, harassing them, they can charge. Anybody feels like we're harassing them and or leave them out, when we go in and talk, so we got to shake everybody's hand or give them a high five, whatever, is they can charge $20,000 to $50,000 per prisoner that we did not contact. If they can prove it. The majority of them aren't. They're overnight converters. Oh, I know you did good stuff. It's like, that's right. Oh, I went there the guy was up there in the juvies, and he said, and I said, I had a Bible study in my hand, and I had a Bible. I said, you want a Bible and Bible study? And he said, no, sir. I'm Kareem from the Nation of Islam. And I said, good to meet you, Kareem from the Nation of Islam. I'm David from Possum Track. He looked at me kind of crazy. I said, would you like a Bible and a Bible study? He said, sure. Can I have one? Yeah. That was one of the overnight conversions. Okay. But I have run into some guys that really knew the Quran really, really good. They knew what they were talking about. And when that happened, you know, I told one of my guys, they were up there and they were trying to twist my guy up bad. And I won't say which one it was, but he said, you need to talk to a pastor. And I had just preached a couple weeks before on what Islam's about here. And so I got there and I started talking to him. We started talking about, can you tell me about Adam and Eve? And can you tell me about Moses? And I said, you're Islamic, aren't you? You're a Muslim. Yeah. And he said, well, this was an older guy though. And he said, yeah, I am. How can you tell? I said, I can spot y'all a mile away. The other day, one guy told me, I said, you want a Bible study? And he said, no, I'm from the Nation of Islam. He said, I'm Muslim. And I said, buddy, this has been Muslim tested. This is Muslim friendly. Would you like one? Because I tried to do God, the thorn we're doing on God. And so they don't care if it's Old Testament. They don't want New Testament. And so I try to make sure I bring Old Testament stuff so even the Muslims will take it. And if you're having prayer, and even doing, I don't have time now, but I used to have time to sit down and do a Bible study. The Muslims would sit around, not get close where they could hear. When it come time to pray, they always get in prayer line. So, because they think Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is just a prophet. But they take their stuff from the Jews. Yeah, like an Orthodox Jew, they take their when they wrote their Bible, 900 years after Jesus was walking this earth. So what they did was is Muhammad took the Old Testament. That's why he's cutting people's heads off, because the Old Testament said go into the land, Joshua and Caleb, and all of that, go in there and take the land and kill the infidel. And that's what they're doing. They're taking Old Testament writing, putting it into the Muslim faith. That's why the Antichrist is going to be so easily persuading people that are Christian, because he's going to have two crowns. The way he does two crowns to two horns is he can take the Muslims, and he can take one some kind of form of Christianity, whether it be Catholicism or whatever kind. But all you got to do is deny the deity of Christ. That's it. If you deny the deity of Christ, then you can, the Christians and the Muslims can get together. Because that's what's holding us apart right now. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't. They believe he was a prophet. Right. They'll believe like they believe. They very much hate our system, and they want to get rid of us so they can bring their system forth. All right, so there's a natural desire to be religious. Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." Wow. Even the guys didn't even know who God was. They still were religious. They built shrines to everything they thought could be a god. So again, even the people tell you that I don't go to church and I'm not into religion, I'm not in that whole thing, you watch them. You watch it. First thing, when something bad happens, what's one of the first things people say when it's really, 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 really bad news? Oh, my God. You know what that is? That is your spirit within crying out to him. Oh, my God. Because I try not to go around saying, oh, my God, but when something really, really, really bad happens, I catch myself, oh, my God. Okay? Yes, please. Yeah, because he was saying, yeah, the reason they did that is because that superstitious there, to him it was considered superstitious. All right, so here we go. The requirements of the law are written in men's hearts. It's not just on a table of stone, it's on your heart. Again, I know there's boundaries, and I'm not going to cross those boundaries. I know there's boundaries, and I'm not. You know there's boundaries. You're not going to cross those boundaries. You know, there might be little things you may do that, okay, nobody's looking, so I think I will eat that second piece of cake. You know, while I tell everybody I'm dieting, and I'm over eating carrots, while they're here, they leave, I grab a great old big Pepsi Cola and a moon pie. You know, that's, and I'm not saying white sin, black sin, all that. I'm just saying that's just some of that little piddly mess, but Even if nobody's looking, we're not going to kill anybody. You know, we're not going to damage somebody's stuff. We're not going to damage them. It's just not going to happen because we have a conscience. See, since they show that the requirements of the law are written in their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. Wow. Now, let me just try to break that down a little bit better. They show that the essential requirements of the law are written in their hearts and are operating there, but their conscience, sense of right or wrong, also bear witness, and their moral decisions, their arguments of reason, their condemning or approving thoughts will accuse or perhaps defend and excuse them. They show that God's law is not something alien, imposed on us from without, but woven into the very fabric of our creation. There's something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no in right and wrong. Think about that. That's your conscience. Think about it. It's an echo. That's something awesome. This is deep. This gets really deep. Your conscience is the echo of God's spirit within you. And what you'll find out is even those that don't claim anything's got that conscience, but once they start serving God, their conscience gets stronger. The reason you get stronger is because now you've got more. You've got more going. You're trying to please him. So something deep within that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. Go ahead, Eddie. I'm sorry. Yes. Yep. Let's see here. This. Anybody else got anything? Come on. Hurry up. I'm not going to ping it right. Just going to push the button on the front of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just hold it in and count to two. Backers. Yeah. I was trying to find this, what he was talking about, because I wanted y'all to write that down. Okay, let's try it again. There it is. Let's see. Something has happened to it. It was doing so good the other day. I had the internet going so strong in here. I take my computer and walk around, and it was playing YouTube, playing us. And I could go all around the church or go back in the back. Because remember, we're having that problem trying to talk on Skype that day. All right, I'll just get it to you. God is just and will not punish the innocent. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, will not the judge of the earth, all the earth, do right. Genesis 18:25. Of course you got to be saved. We know that, but that's part of the righteous. You know, when you're saved, you're righteous. But again, you're righteous, you're saved, and you're listening to the Spirit. That's why it says that you have no man. See, some people get this all wrong. I used to have a couple of guys that. They said, you don't have to have a teacher teach you. The Bible says nobody has to teach you, you know, from little John. You don't need a man to teach you. The Spirit will give it to you. He's talking about your conscience and the stuff you've already got. It's not talking about you've got to have a teacher. We all have teachers. I've got teachers all over the place. I got teachers in college, and I got teachers everywhere. I mean, everywhere I look, I got teachers, and y'all got teachers everywhere. So it's really important. That's right. Just watching how they act sometimes to do it. Just watching them. Just watching how they handle themselves and how they handle other things. Okay. So now, any questions? Remember, if you don't remember anything else, your conscience, I'm writing this down, is the echo of God's Spirit telling you yes, no, right, wrong. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. You did a good job. It's kind of like this. If you go over, let's just say you go to Taiwan, and you're going to go over there and stay 6 months, and you want to make sure you're not going to be offensive. You're going to want to study their culture. You're going to want to study their laws. Linda's boss went to Sweden, or one of those Norwegian countries. And they asked her, does she have everything right? She's walking on the tarmac. They said, you got everything you need? And she points to the plane and she said, yeah, like this. And she offended people. Because that doesn't mean, yeah, we got it. That means something else there. And like, I remember Mr. Fountain, he get me to do the tours, and there was this racer that came, an American racer that lived in Saudi Arabia. He had married an Arabian wife, a Saudi wife. And I had taken him, he's the only man he's ever told me, tell him anything he wants to know. Everybody else would say, be guarded with what you tell. Don't tell our secrets. You can't tell this now. I said, all right. He said, this man, you have my permission. I'm asking you, tell him anything he wants to know. I said, okay. And so I'm walking through. And that night, I'd picked up Linda and Bethany, and we were at McDonald's eating. And then come this guy from Saudi Arabia with his Saudi wife. And she's wearing all the get up. You can only see just her eyes. And she's got the veil. And I walk up, and she's taking the veil and holding it up and putting the hamburger in. And then putting her hand down. I mean, it was really, really kind of some wild stuff to look at. And I went over and said, I better go talk to him. I said, I was just with him all day. And Linda said, honey, please be careful with his wife. And I said, why, dear? She said, because I know you. You're going to be a bumbling, the old bumblebee bubbling around. And you're going to jump on there and get right. And she said, and you don't know her customs. I said, you think I would go do that? Yeah. So Linda's watching as I walk over, and I tell that man, I take him, grab his arm, and I said, how you doing, young man? I said, had a good time. He said, thank you, man. You told me everything. I said, yeah, it was awesome. I turned around to his wife, and I went like that. I said, I'm David Linton. I'm David Linton, and you are? And she went, look. And he reached up and took my hand and said, in our country, I shake your hand for her. And so I reach over and I shake her hand. I look over at Linda. She's going. And I come back. She said, what did I tell you? No, I wouldn't have done that. No. No, I wouldn't have told her that, because Lord knows it was bad enough just what I did. You'd have thought I'd gone over and took a blast and try to hit her with a blast or something. I'd never give you that other thing. It was just your conscience is the echo of God's spirit in your mind. It is the echo spirit in your mind telling you, yes, you got it? I don't mind. I'll slow down. That's right. The voice of your conscience is the echo of God's spirit telling you yes, no, right, wrong. And you're right, the more you learn God's word, because there were certain things I didn't see any problem with until I started learning God's word. Once I started learning God's word, and I said, whoa, maybe I did that wrong. Maybe I weren't supposed to pop in the back of the head like that. That's right. I always tell Jeannie when she tries to give me something, I shouldn't be eating that. I go, I won't, just don't say anything to Linda. What do you always say? That's why I was pointing at her. Yeah, she go. there's a little changing going on. But also, if you look at some of the correspondents that go over there, unless they're in a battlefield where they're wearing the women, unless the women are on the battlefield wearing the battle gear, if they're standing around, there's still some ladies that when they're standing in certain places because of the Sharia law and stuff, they will still wear veils and wear their hair covered, you know, which I reckon it cuts down on hairspray and perms. Oh yeah, you've got to do. Paul said he was all things to all men, and when he was in Rome, he was going to do. It's just that's the way it is. Because if you don't, who's that? Used to be. Well, also, yep. Well, Frank, the other Frankie Jones, his wife was here Sunday. She's talking to me that they're trying to get a food pantry started here in Edward, This is Aurora. Okay. Oh, so it is in Aurora. I misunderstood. I thought she said it was in. Oh, she said the one in Aurora is getting ready to leave. The other thing that comes, and it only comes once a month. Cool. Well, that's a good one, too. On Main Street, across from Helen Myers. Yeah. Well, that's that flower store. That flower store was the original Aurora Church of God. That's awesome. I told you we'd be glad to do it. Yeah, I told you we'd be glad to do it. Yeah. It's 1 Timothy 4:2. 4:2. Conscience seared with a hot iron. That'll work. Well, when I was telling you about that when I was telling y'all about the scar on my finger Sunday, but when I hit that high voltage anode in the back of the television, it was so hot that it seared. It would just burn a hole all the way to the bone in my finger, and it was hard as rock. Y'all ready? Everybody's conscience clear? Do we have to unsear anybody? Go ahead, tell it. That's awesome. That is so awesome. I tell you what I did. Well, I tell you what I did do. Now, I have reached down. Look. Yeah, it'd be kind of hard to do that $10 bill, but I'll tell you what I did do. I was coming out of Walmart on 33, and as I was coming out, there was a shopping cart I was going to put a shopping cart up. And when I did, I noticed something in the shopping cart in front of it. Right there in the shopping cart, catcher. And when I put it in, I noticed it was dark. So I reached in and picked up, what is this? And it was somebody's iPad. They used it for shopping. Now, if my conscience had been seared, I just said, thank you for the iPad, Lord. What I did was I walked right in the store. Said $10 bill, I probably would have kept it. Because you go in the store and say, everybody's lost it. But I know what you mean. That's what I would do. What I'm saying is that all people all the time coming up saying stuff like that. But what I'm going to say is an iPad. So I walked up and I said, and I didn't even give it to a person. I didn't give it to a worker. I said, I need to see your manager. And they said, what's wrong, sir? I said, I found an iPad. And their eyes lit up and said, I'll take it. I said, no. I need to see the manager. And so they gave me the manager on shift, and she was transferred from Washington. I said, how you doing, man? I said, I'm doing good. And I said, I just found a new iPad. And I said, I want to make sure that whoever lost it gets it. She says, I'll go put it under lock and key now. And whoever lost it, if they come in and ask for it, they'll get it. So, you know what I'm saying? That was, you know, that was like that. I have been along and seen people drop money out of their pocket, trying to put their hands in or reach their hand and come out. I'll go give that money to them. Yeah, here, you drop this money. Oh, I know this. You did. That's good. My boys and I were fishing in a pond a mile from the church by a store in Benson, and they had drained the pond down a little bit because it was overflowing, so they drained the pond down a little bit, and we were fishing, and Daniel caught a lady's pocketbook. So they pulled the pocketbook up. And Daniel says, what are we going to do, Dad? I said, I don't want you to mess that pocket, but we don't know what's in it. He said, well, we got to do something about it. I said, well, let me open it. I'm glad I opened it because a great big spider came out of it. But we opened it up, and I said, now I want you to carry this to the store. We carried it to the store, and the owner of the store was a member of our church. He looked in it, and the lady, somebody had stole the lady's pocketbook, took all the money out of it, but left all of her cards, her license, all that in it, and went and threw it in the pond. And so when we fished it out of the pond, she got all of her stuff. Except for the money. Yeah. All right, y'all. All hearts and minds clear. All consciences clear. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal yourself through our conscience. Lord, we know, God, we can't deny you. You've got it put in us. We've got that. They got that seed of life in us, Lord, and it's impossible to deny it. I thank you right now, Lord, for what you're doing in our life, Lord. I thank you for teaching us, Lord, so that we can understand your word better. And, Father, we thank you for that conscience. We thank you for the scars, too, Lord. We know, God, that that teaches us and helps us to help others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.